This is a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, it is. It's a podcast and you love it.
Next guest here on The One. This artist put out a song that Radio 1 absolutely adored last year. He put out Bottom Feeder, which was a protest track all against the government and its really, really ridiculously anti-human policy. And he's continuing a similar anti-political establishment track or vibe with this new track, The City Has Let Our Children Down. We've got Civil Talk on the line here. Atamarie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Zach?
I'm doing grand, eh? I'm doing real grand. I'm feeling a lot of energy this Friday, which is great.
Feeling the heat.
What, sorry?
Nothing.
Okay. last time we spoke, you said that Civil Talk wasn't an inherently political act. Now the second song is out. It's political as all hell. Did you have a change of heart, or are we just two for two now?
I just heard Jono laugh outside. It's my stepdad listening. It's not an inherently political band. It's just the music I'm writing at the moment is quite political. So just two for two. A lot less satirical, far more depressing, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. This new track is pretty bleak. But it's a great track. It's really fun. It's pretty loud.
It's very loud, yeah. I'm very proud of it, though. It's a banger, if I do say so myself. I don't know if I can say that.
I think you can say that. I think that shows confidence. I think there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence, and you're far on the line of confidence. What, sorry?
It's the best song ever written.
Well, maybe not that. There's no Hotline Bling, let me tell you. But I want to talk about, before we get talking into this new song, I want to quickly mention that aside from putting out this new track, you are in Life in One Chord, the documentary we've been talking about here this morning for about 30 minutes, which is, you know, the rockumentary about Shane Carter. He's a relative of yours, and I want to know, what is your capacity in the film, and how has having Shane as a close relative impacted, I guess, your kind of music?
Congrats to Margaret, firstly, for finally getting this film out. She's been working so bloody hard on it for ages, and I'm super excited for the Regent screening. I saw sort of early versions of it as it was going through the process, and it's everyone's in for quite a treat. So, yeah, big ups, Life in One Chord. Shane, he's my uncle, he's my mum's brother. It's good. He's, you know, he's not as cool as everyone thinks. he truly is. He's an incredibly lovely person, and has had a major role as, you know, as an uncle, you know, as an adult, you know, positive role model for myself and my little brother. Especially since when he moved down to Aramoana and was working on his book that the film's based on, go buy that. So I'm very close with him, he's just a very, a very lovely person who I'm very happy to have in my life. And it's also really cool to be like, my uncle's a rock star. Uncle's a rock star. But yeah, a bit of a ramble, but yeah. And also Straightjacket Fits and Dimmer are like some of my favorite bands ever. I think even regardless if we weren't related, I'd still love those bands. So it's a pretty cool sort of, I guess, family legacy. And yeah.
You could say kind of epic.
Kind of epic, bro.
Kind of epic. Yeah, no, it's really cool to have that in the family, man. But I want to talk about you, because we want to talk about this new song you put out, The City Has Let Our Children Down. Now, in the video, there's a bit of graffiti in what I assume is Wilson's Park in the Octagon, which has the words of the song, The City Has Let Our Children Down. Is that a real piece of graffiti that you found and based the song off, or is that something that you created for the song?
It's not real.
I was hoping it was, but that's all right.
Yeah, it'd be cool if it was. There's two pieces of graffiti in the video. There's one when they're doing this sort of Abbey Road walk.
Yes.
Across the little zebra crossing, the entrance to Wilson's car park, and there's one, there's I think we went up to like the 8th floor to film there, and they're both digital, they're both comped in. The first one is just like a lyric, however you repave, you can't remove the stains.
Yeah.
Beam above, and that was just like some graffiti font that I found, and I managed to make it look decent because I bought a Steadicam to use for this video, which is a whole lot of fun to use. Mm-hmm. I got to do a really cool I'll talk about it in a second. But with the main sort of piece of graffiti that's featured in the first chorus is it was designed by my friend Ash McFarlane, who's done a lot of great design work. Ash Designs on Instagram, check him out. Done all sorts of cool stuff, and asked him to do some graffiti for me, which I think he just did on like big paper or like tarps or something, and then digitized it, and then I just comped that into the video, and so that's why it's the same as the title card as well. And I think it was rather than a video that was just a photo and then slowly zooming in, but it looked really good. I was surprised how real it looked.
It looks great.
Yeah, hoping I can fool some more people. With the Steadicam, that adds to it as well, is having the Steadicam throughout the video sort of means it's a little less unnatural when everything's got that vibe. And in the shots directly preceding it, I got to do this technique that I really love, which is Spike Lee's dolly shots. He gets like a dolly and then puts like the actor on the same like track, and then they move together, so the actor's like frozen, but it's like representing them.
I do love that. Yeah, that was fun.
Like the end of like Black K Klansman, when they're going towards mm-hmm. the door, or like Malcolm X or anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in all of his movies. So I tried to emulate that, and we basically had each actor, who are my friends and wonderful musicians from the bands Uno Juno and the Pink Opaque. They were on a skateboard, I was just walking backwards, and then they had like one person on either side ducked down, holding their hand, sort of pulling them forward. So it's got this weird effect where, because it was going slow, but because it's cut very quick, it's just got this strange effect where it kind of looks like they're walking, but they're not really, because they aren't. But the skateboard was wobbly, so it's not completely still. So it's a bit jerky, but I really like the look. I guess it makes it something a little more my own, as opposed to just copying Spike Lee. But if I had like enough money for a dolly, then I would have directly copied Spike Lee.
Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all? It's kind of reminiscent of the that Alfred Hitchcock shot where he moves the camera away, but he increases the zoom, so it's kind of like a vertigo effect.
Yeah. Oh, what is that called? I didn't go to film school. it's like the one in Jaws. That's the most famous one that I can think of. Yeah, the move back, dolly back or zoom in. Maybe it's just that.
It's just that. The new track, as the name implies, is not kind of a critique. It is a critique about the Dunedin City Council for many failings, one of which is the fumbled attempt at creating third spaces in the city. One that you cite in the video is the George Street Seesaw, that big colossus of red metal. What other examples do you see as kind of failed third spaces, and what third spaces would you like the DCC to invest in?
I had an answer for this, and it's completely gone out of my brain. Specifically the George Street there's two that come to mind really, which are mostly what the song centers about. There's also a lot of it switches pretty. Thank you. talking to myself with voices in my head. Lost my train of thought. Excuse me.
You had two third spaces in mind, two targets in mind.
Yeah, the bus stop and the George Street. So with George Street, it's like it's like part like an initiative to make Dunedin more of a walkable city, which is great. You know, like that's what we want. Mm. But the fashion that they went about it is so like gaudy and lifeless and corporate. It's just like they kind of just, you know, remember the, like the polka dots and stuff. It's just like these absurd wastes of money that don't make anything better. And what they've done in these street blocks is like they had this like year of construction, and instead of making anything cool, they just have these really depressing, just drab, just like, you know, just grey and sort of like, you know, matte concrete with, you know, dark grey and light grey mixed in. And then there's like just the occasional little like planter with a bench. And then there's the two seesaws, which cost $60,000 and had to be replaced. And it's like, nobody asked for that. It's like, could we still just have a walkable city block, but it's like full of like flowers and planters and like greenery and trees and stuff? Wouldn't that be so much nicer? If you want to, you know, provide a playground for children next to what is still an active road, you know, you could actually just like find a better way to link to the playgrounds we already have. Like, you know, I guess Woodhall Gardens is a bit far, but like there are other ways of going about it, and I just think it was really bad use of it. And then the bus hub really pisses me off, because that was supposed to be the new thing for our city, and our public transport is just terrible. It is marginally better since we had the bus hub, but like I went to Auckland a few years ago for the first time as an adult. I hadn't been in a few years, and I was traveling on my own and taking the buses and stuff, and I was just marveling at the public transport and how convenient it was and how great it was. And like every Aucklander I spoke to was like, our public transport bloody sucks. I almost said the F word there. And so it's like, God, we're just like really scraping the bottom of the barrel, or maybe we're actually just the floor under the barrel at this point. And then it's just this, it's a hub, you know, it's like everyone's got names for them, but like the Bus Hub Bundys and Bus Hub Bogans or whatever. It's a hub for a lot of...
scary children?
Yeah, scary
children. I've seen so many scary children there, dog. Like every time I go past there and there's like scary kids, I get real on edge.
Yeah, but not in the like My Chemical Romance teenagers scary.
Like, no, like... these kids will be fighting on the street.
These kids are fighting on the street. These kids are stabbing each other, and you know, it's outside the police station, and there's all this street violence and stuff. That it's like, you know, Dunedin has been an incredibly violent city for a very, very long time, and the DCC aren't really doing anything about it. You know, it's like they say they are, and then they do the first step, but then they just leave it. Like, they, you know, up to the security or anything after like earlier incidents, and like the police station being there clearly doesn't help. Yeah, they're also really rude to young people, and like sort of like digging their claws into their...
Civil Talk just left the Zoom. Oh, and he's back. Yo.
Was I ranting too long that the Zoom got bored?
Maybe. Maybe the DCC are trying to hack you.
Yeah. I'll just quickly tie that rant off with a bow. I've heard from some people that, some of the DCC members, especially the older ones, are very much like and very rude and condescending to like members of the Youth Council and people who are trying to get ins. You know, I think it's very important this upcoming, you know, local election to actually be involved in and vote and give a shit about who the candidates are. I mean, I surely haven't before now, I will. So, yeah.
For sure. The local election is super important, as we've touched on here many a time on the Breakfast Program. I highly recommend everyone to check their enrolment, or if you haven't already enrolled, do so. Please. We need it. We need more civic engagement. I think voting turnout last election was like 42% or something. It's nuts.
Oh, man.
And 70, yes. It was 70% for the national election and about 40 for the...
142% of the population of Dunedin complain about the DCC.
I know. Do something about it.
Do something about it.
Not enough parking. Where's the parks? Where's parking?
We should tear down parks and make a car park.
I just want a car park city.
There's me of like pictures of like... are we lost again?
No, we're
good. Have you seen those pictures of like national parks, like beautiful glacial lakes or whatever? And it's like, this would look really good if we tore it down and made it a Walmart.
A bit of Walmart over here. Yeah, I've seen those. I love that shit. I love that shit. As you mentioned before about the violence in the city, you referenced that pretty directly on the line. However, you're a pave, you can't remove the stain of the killings that took place in Fear of the Cops, which, of course, in and of itself, is a reference to the stabbing, the fatal stabbing from May last year, right outside the bus hub. Between that and the frequent fights that bust out in the Octagon most nights, or most you know, big nights, why are we so used to the violence in Dunedin, and why do you think the council has been unable or unwilling to stop it?
Well, I kind of, through what I said before, would just apply to why the council... I don't think the council is unwilling to stop it. I just think they're too far up their own asses. So maybe, yeah, because I don't think it's something that's an overnight fix, you know? It's not something that... I'm not someone who knows how to fix a decades-long problem of, you know... I guess it would... you know, you can't even just go with, like, it all starts with education, because it's not just, like, the poor people who are fighting.
No, it's rich, like, Aucklanders who come down here to study, and then they get in a fight in the Octagon.
Yeah, it's just them. It's just
it's not just them, but a lot of them.
It's a mix. It's a mix of all people of, like, socioeconomic status and stuff, but generally young men, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason... I don't know, it's just New Zealand has a very clean face to it, you know, to the world. It's like, oh, Jacinda Ardern running the perfect country, it's paradise.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think she's great. But you know, hot take. you know, there has always been a very violent underbelly throughout the country, and still is. And, like, you know, in Back to Life of One Chord, and also the book, you know, Shane talks about
The violence in the Dunedin scene in the 80s. It's nuts.
Yeah, just like bogans and cars would show up, and they're always just like a carload of them drinking, and would, you know, show up at the end of a gig at the Coronation Hall and just stand. Once everyone had cleared out, you know, stand at the doorway and wait for the bands to get off the stage so they can pummel them.
Yeah, nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. And, you know, I think another big thing to do with that is the very sort of traditionalist approach that a lot of the single-sex schools and, like, sort of, I guess, more like private kind of schools in Dunedin also approach their teaching and their... what would you call it, their sort of social vibe, you know, like hazings and things like that. And I think also the insane drinking culture that we have here, that, like, you know, with students and everything, no offense to anyone listening here from any unis, but you know, you're part of the problem. Not all of you.
Clean up your act.
Yeah, right in your act. But yeah, you know, it's just a thing that has never stopped, that people don't like to talk about. And I think because people don't like to talk about it and don't act like it's a real thing,
the worst,
that's why
kids.
It's in you.
Yeah.
Because if they put cameras up in the bus hub, well, they'd have cameras. If they put more security watching those cameras up in the bus hub, they would be admitting that there's something wrong with it, and they don't. You know, and it's kind of like they can claim it, these things as freak occurrences, for as long as they can, you know, until they're not freak occurrences anymore. It's just the same with any government, really. So it's we're all fucked. Now, excuse me, but it's just saying that word so early in the morning on the radio, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to digest that feeling to move on to the solution, but, I mean, it is a huge... Yeah, it's going to take a lot of effort, and it's going to take a collective effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. You're going to be playing... Oh, sorry?
So stop beating people up.
Yes, please stop beating people up. It's not very fun. I've never done it, and I hope no one else listening has done it, and if you have, please stop it.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing on August the 23rd as well as at Dankfest. This is your live debut. How are you feeling about going live? You feeling excited?
I feel absolutely great. I'm ecstatic, honestly. Last year was my worst year with my health issues, as well as long COVID. I had just like a whole, you know, insanely long scroll of different ailments. I tried to do a civil talk thing last year, but didn't work out. I nearly fainted in one of the practice rooms.
Whoa!
I won one of the practice sessions, and it would have been a cooler story if I did faint, but I didn't. I was actually singing this song, but I just like didn't have the energy to do it. And if I had done a full set, I would have passed out, you know. But I'm slowly getting a bit better, quality of life is improving, and I've been practicing for a few weeks now. I've got a really great band, we're going to be playing at Pioneer Hall. It's going to be super special because it's my first gig since the compilation release for the Wahine and Gender Diverse Otipoti, that cassette, and that came out. It was like November 2023. It's the last time I played a show, and then the first time I went to a show after that was Twine at the Crown at the start of this year. And then I saw OCs, which is amazing. And Twine also amazing. I also saw Tom York last year, but we don't talk about that at the moment.
Are you a Zionist? yes or no?
No, free Palestine, unequivocal always. I can't remember what the question was, but...
excited. You're feeling good.
It's going to be great. I haven't been to Dankfest before, so I think it'll be sweet.
They're a lot of fun. And they always have good poster art as well. The poster art for Dankfest is pretty unparalleled, I find.
Absolutely. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
So, if you're going to Dankfest, we'll see you there. I think we're playing earlier on the first day. I don't think sets are finalized, so I can't say for sure. If you can't make that, come to Pioneer Hall. It's all ages. It's timed around the buses. And not to be too late, so you're not at the aforementioned bus hub at 11 or whatever. It'll be a good time playing with Sog and Eris, two great bands. Sog just put out an album yesterday, which is excellent. Y'all should all listen to it.
Yes, I need to get them on the show at some point, or on Drive or something. I need to get their attention. Thank you for coming on the program this morning, Simple Talk. It was lovely talking to you.
Of course, thank you so much, Zach. It was lovely to chat, and please use my name.
Oh, yes, Tane. Okay, sorry, Tane. My name. No, very fair.
Hello, Zach Hoffman, host of Radio 1 Breakfast, sponsored by Arjo.
Is that how you want me to address you every time I see you?
You can call me Half Trough. You can call me Half Trough. Yeah.
Half Trough. Oh, that's... I was trying to find your Instagram handle yesterday. I couldn't remember it. I should have... Oh, Half Trough.
Yeah, I'm going to change it because it's a really dumb Instagram handle. But yeah, no, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate our chats. And I look forward to seeing you live at some point. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Definitely try to make one of the two shows.
For sure. For sure, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming on. We're going to play you a song very, very shortly.
Okay.
You got any final words for our listeners? Bye. Fair enough. That's very, very fair. All right, folks. That was Tane Cotton. We're talking to him about his latest track, This City Has Let Our Children Down, which we're going to play for you very shortly. Well, actually, right now. After that, we'll have a couple more tracks, and then we'll have some news. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
How many more budgetary excuses will you give?
That was a f***ing Radio 1 podcast, mate. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.